Good morning, everybody. I hope and pray that you're doing well. I look out on this crowd here, and I feel like I know most of you, but for those of you who do not know me, my name is Jonathan Gluck. I'm the pastor of worship here at Mosaic Church, and it is my privilege to be able to bring the Word of God to you this morning. It is truly a joy to be here with you on this, the final Sunday before Christmas. Thank you, Pastor Tad. Where are you? All the way in the back there. Thank you, man, for the opportunity to come and preach. He's always so generous, you know, giving me times to do this throughout the year. I feel like I need to return the favor to him and let him come lead worship on some Sunday. You want to do that? Got the thumbs up. All right, it's coming. All right. He already mentioned it in the welcome, but there's a specific reason I want to mention this again, our Christmas Eve service that we have coming up on the 23rd. I want to make sure to invite you again to that, the Christmas Eve service on the 23rd of December at 5:30. It's going to be an awesome time of family worship, great songs, a short sermon by Pastor Tad, and a great time of fellowship afterwards. The reason that I am talking about that again is it is a long-standing tradition in Mosaic Church to have Christmas Eve services. If that sounds unfamiliar to you, I know a lot of churches will do just a Christmas Eve service, but we have a long tradition in history of Christmas Eve services here that have always benefited us greatly and have always been such a wonderful time of fellowship with brothers and sisters and Christ, just worshiping together, because you know we are in the middle of another long-standing tradition right now within the church, that not necessarily Mosaic Church. I'm not speaking just about us right now, but the church as a whole is currently in what is called the season of Advent. Right, it's a long history in the church celebrating Advent and what it is. Today actually marks the beginning of the last Sunday of Advent. Advent this year goes from November 29th through December 24th. But even though that this Sunday is the start of the last week in Advent, I don't want you to feel like that you have missed out on everything. In fact, if I accomplish my goal here today, you will feel encouraged and you will see that the focus of Advent is not something that we can just focus on for a couple of weeks out of the year, but in fact, it's something that is to be practiced every day in the life of a believer. So before I give us a little bit of a brief history on what Advent is, I want to go ahead and take this time now and pray for us. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, and God, you are so good to us. God, in this season, this time of Christmas, Lord, we focus so much and so intently on the birth of Christ, our Savior, our King. God, I pray for this time in being in your Word and seeing how we have hope, that we should prepare, that we should have joy, and that we should love, all because of Christ and who he is and what he has done for us, and that he is our King. So, Father, we lift this time up to you, God. I pray that you will use me now in a way that only you can, Father. Pray that every word that comes from my mouth just brings glory and honor to you, not to me, not to Mosaic Church, but to you, God, because you are worthy of all praise and all glory. We love you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Advent. What is it? You've probably heard the word quite a few times throughout your life, but Advent, the word itself, comes from the Latin word Adventus, which means coming. So when we hear the advent of Christ, we are to understand that to mean the coming of Christ. And the season of Advent is celebrated every four weeks leading up to Christmas every year, with each week having a special emphasis that we are to focus on leading up to the Nativity, which is the birth of Christ, and ending on the 24th of December every year. Now, Advent has been practiced in some form or fashion for centuries at this point. In fact, the earliest official writing of Advent practices date back to around the year AD 380. So hopefully this gives us a little bit better understanding of what Advent is and a brief history behind it. Because what I want to do today is spend the focus of our time here on the themes or the special emphasis that Advent is supposed to be on, which those are hope, preparation, joy, and love. So let's turn our attention now to the first one, which is hope. So what are some things that immediately come to mind when you hear the word hope, especially around Christmas time? There can be many things that we think of, and hopefully there many of them may have a great intention behind them. It can be the hope of restoration and reconciliation in family and friendships. It can be the hope of healing, whether that's physically or spiritually. Maybe when you hear the word hope, you're thinking, I hope I get that promotion that I want, or I hope I get that pay raise that I want. I have a personal hope right now. I hope my vacation time in January gets approved. That's a hope that I have right now. There are so many good things that we can hope for. And for a lot of kids, and if we're honest, probably some adults too, our hope sometimes lean a little more into the desires of the material. I can remember as a kid, around Christmas time, the hope was, for me, in the gifts. I would hope I get this, or I hope I get that. Every year, for many years, I wouldn't say every year, but for many years, I would always say, I don't know how the go-kart that I want is going to fit under the tree, but I hope that it's there. My parents are here today, so you can ask them if the go-kart ever showed up or not. That's good. I'm glad you didn't buy it, because I wouldn't have this sermon illustration right now if you did, so yeah. So we understand the difference between the hope and the desires for the material. And as believers, as Christians, disciples, followers of Christ, we know, or we should know, that our hope is not in the material. It's not in the worldly, but our hope is in Christ. Let's look at Romans chapter 15. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. So what we see there is that by believing in the God of hope, you will have joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you will abound in that hope. So this is where the tension exists for us. This is where the worldly hope and the biblical hope kind of clash into one another and creates a tension in our lives, because maybe our hope is in the wrong things. Maybe our hope is in the wrong place or the wrong person. Worldly hope is nothing more than the desired outcome, but with no assurance that it will happen. But the church, that is us, the body of Christ, we have a living hope. We have a living hope, and we can see this in 1 Peter 1. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. So what we see is that worldly hope is temporal and fleeting, but the living hope we have in Jesus Christ is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, and kept in heaven for us. So worldly hope is temporal and fleeting. Even if we get the desires that we want, even if they come to us, eventually we know that they will fade away. But Jesus Christ is our living hope, and we have full assurance of our hope. We have full assurance that our hope is not in vain, but instead is being kept in heaven and guarded by the power of God through faith. So this brings us to our second focus of Advent, which is preparation. So again, I ask you, what comes to mind when you hear the word preparation around Christmas time? Our minds probably go to a huge list of things that have to be done, right? In fact, I'm willing to bet I probably just lost some of you on that one. You heard the word preparation, and immediately your mind's just thinking like, okay, I've got to finish wrapping the gifts. I've got to clean the house. I've got to finish doing all these things. I got to go buy that ham. I got to do all of these things before the parties start and before family gets here. There's so many things that are probably on our mind that we're preparing for right now in our homes. Around Christmas time, we seem to get in these habits and these routines of preparation for single or multiple events. And then if those go well and they're enjoyable to us, we say, hey, let's do this next year. And then next year rolls around and we do those same things and we say, hey, you know what? That was really fun. You know what we should do? We should make this a tradition. That's right. Don't act like you don't have traditions. You have them. You know, growing up, I remember a lot of traditions around our house for Christmas. Here's the thing. I'm not going to tell you a whole lot of them because you'd see just how weird the Gluck family can get around Christmas time. We have some strange traditions, but I'll tell you one of them. So my mom has these like decorative Christmas scenes with you know, like the little ceramic dolls and things like that. She has like her nativity scene ones, and then she has, you know, the other ones that that's like Christmas, people singing Christmas carols and, you know, reindeer and stuff like that. Well, me and my brothers, it's a tradition in our house. Every year we rearrange the ones, not the nativity one. We leave that one alone. We don't touch that. But we rearrange the other ones and put, you know, the carolers in just weird positions and weird spots, and we'll make them look like they're doing like really silly things. It's a weird tradition we have, and you know, we started it many years ago, and you know, my mom didn't like it that much to begin with, but now it's just a fun thing that we do. Another tradition that we had was, you know, we would always go to the same Christmas tree farm, eat at the same restaurant after we got our tree, and we do that every single year. And another thing that I'm sure many of us are well acquainted with in preparing for Christmas is, you know, we all decorate, right? In some varying degree, we do Christmas decorations. It's part of that preparation for Christmas. And now I'm not saying that these traditions are a bad thing, and I'm certainly not saying that you have to stop doing anything like that, but what I want to encourage us with today to consider is what kind of attention and what kind of preparation are you giving these things to? Foundationally speaking, at the glory of God, is it at the bottom of them? Is this the reason that we have these traditions? You know, this is something that I've had to wrestle with a lot, like over the years, as I was just growing in my faith and thinking, why am I doing these things every single year? Like, is Christ in his glory really at the bottom of the reason I do all of these things and I wait and prepare for them throughout the Christmas season? Is the glory of God really the reason why I'm doing these things? So I would urge us to consider and think about the traditions and the things that we have in our lives during Christmas time. Is the glory of God the reason that we have these traditions and these preparations for Christmas? Because how quickly our preparation turns into traditions. And if we're not careful, these traditions can become burdensome and they can consume our hearts and our minds and our time and our money. And they can draw us away from the very reason we celebrate and have these traditions in the first place, which is the birth of Christ and our continued preparation while we eagerly await his return. So easily we can joyfully prepare our homes for Christmas, but do we give the same time and attention in preparation of our hearts? Do we sound like David in Psalm 139? He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way of the everlasting." How different could Christmas look in our homes? How different could our lives look if this was how we were preparing our hearts? And the reason I say this is because I want us to consider this, and that is to do not merely adorn your home with festive Christmas ornaments, but also prepare your heart by seeking the Lord in his will, in his word, in prayer, and through repentance. Do not just adorn your home with Christmas lights and fill your time with holiday traditions, but instead, and I'm borrowing this next part from a Christian singer-songwriter, these are some words that he wrote, seek the Lord and wait for what he has in store, and know that great is your reward. So just be hopeful. And this brings us to our third focus of Advent, which is joy. See, there are so many things that we can enjoy and we can have fun with during Christmas time. But we shouldn't confuse fun and happiness for joy. There's a big difference between the two. So follow me on this example, because I know that this doesn't really happen in Crestview, but let's think of it this way. So there is a difference between dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, I told you this doesn't happen in Crestview, over the fields we go and laughing all the way. There's a difference between that and saying, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king, and let every heart prepare him room. You see, one speaks of a brief moment of happiness and fun, and the other speaks of joy in knowing that the Lord has come to save and to redeem his people. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying in Philippians 4, where he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and through supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, our joy comes from that peace that Paul is talking about that surpasses all understanding and is given and guarded to us by God. And this comes by the grace of God through prayer and supplication. Our joy in Christ, our hearts, our minds are being guarded by continuing to seek the Lord. This is a spiritual discipline of staying in or abiding in Christ. Let's look at John 15, where we can learn more about this discipline of abiding in Christ. It says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. See, joy is all too often confused with happiness. See, happiness is getting that parking space that's closest to the front door at Publix, and happiness is getting a three-day weekend. Happiness is accidentally getting, you know, like a gift given to you, or a gift just given to you intentionally. Happiness is being out on the beach on 30A with your friends and the weather is perfect. But joy is a whole nother level. Joy is a whole nother level that is exponentially better. Joy is losing your job, and while the trials may come, saying, Lord, you are good. You have always provided for me, and I know that you will provide for me, and I will praise you through this. Joy is saying, I'll risk the awkwardness, and I'll risk the potential of tension between me and my best friend because I follow Jesus now, and I want to share the gospel with them. So I'll risk them possibly alienating me or whatever may come from that because I want them to know that they can have a Savior in Jesus Christ. Joy is staring down the face of an illness and saying, Lord, I want you to heal me, but I'll praise you either way. Joy is echoing the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 8 when he says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. See, happiness comes and goes, but joy endures. Happiness comes and goes, but joy endures because it is founded upon the rock, the cornerstone that is Jesus Christ. As believers, our preparation for Christ's return is to abide in him so that our joy may be full and complete in him. This is the promise of God that if we abide in him, that no one can take our joy away. We see this in John chapter 16. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your joy will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been brought and born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. That's the promise of God, that we abide in him, that no one will take our joy away. See, happiness depends more on our circumstances, but joy in Christ is rooted in the promises of God. Happiness often depends more on our circumstances, but the joy in Christ is rooted in the promises of God, and that cannot be taken away from us. Praise God. This brings us to our fourth and final focus of the Advent season, which is love. Now, I've asked you the same reoccurring question throughout this, what comes to mind, but I'm going to spare you that here and just turn our attention solely to God's word. This final section here, I really want to say as little as possible of my own thoughts because honestly, just reading God's word is so much better. No one can expound on the love of God for you, for us, better than he can in his own words. So I want to turn our attention now to 1 John 4. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another." Let's look at Philippians 2. Apostle Paul says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You see, God has shown his love for us by the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. God has shown his love for us by the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And the path to the cross all started with the first advent, Christ coming as a baby, God sending his Son, Jesus, to come and live and die for our sins. Advent is all about the intention of our heart and the focus of our worship to God because of the coming of Christ as a baby and his return as a king. We have hope because of Christ. We prepare for the return of Christ. We have joy because we abide in Christ. And we love because God first loved us. I'm wrapping up here. So I want to leave you with this passage from, this is probably my favorite chapter in the Bible. I read it often. It's from John chapter 1. It shows the love of God for us and who Christ is and why he is our hope and why we prepare our hearts for his return by abiding in him and why we have joy and why we love. John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And he came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about Him and cried out, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because He was before me.' For from His fullness we have received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made Him known." As I close here, I just want to encourage you with this. While Advent is a wonderful tradition in the church and has a long, rich history of being celebrated, and we should continue on with that, its focus of hope, preparation, joy, and love in Christ can and should be a daily practice in the life of a believer. Even though this is the last week of Advent, you haven't missed anything. You can start all of this right now. You can have all of the promises of God right now if you seek Him through His Word, through prayer, and through repentance. So if you haven't done that today, I want to invite you to do that. Let's pray. Well, Father, we love You, and God, we thank You. Thank You for loving us. God, during this time of the year when it is so easy for us to get caught up in traditions and in preparations that have nothing to do with You. God, the desires of the material can run rampant in this time of year. God, when we should be focusing on the hope that we have in Christ. We should be preparing and eagerly awaiting His return. God, we should see the joy that we have in Christ because of His sacrifice for our sins on the cross. God, that should stir us to such a deep love for You and for our neighbors. So God, I pray for the hearts of everyone who hears this right now and who will hear this in the future. God, I pray that we will repent, if we need to, Lord, of sin, ongoing sin in our lives. God, I pray that we will lay that at the cross, that we will turn from our old ways. And God, we will pursue You, that we will seek first the kingdom of God. Father, for those of us who continue on day after day, being faithful disciples, Jesus, God, I praise You for those brothers and sisters. I pray that You would encourage them, that we would continue to be disciples who make disciples, who will live out the Great Commission to go make disciples of all nations. Father, we thank You. We thank You that the gates of hell will not prevail against Your church, because You will grow Your church. Father, we thank You for Jesus. We love You. We praise You. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.